Good morning to you. How you doing? It's Wednesday morning. It is November 13th, 2019. And this is the newspaper review programme today. Good morning to those of you chatting away there on the live chat, to Matt in Western Massachusetts. Good morning, Matt. And thanks for the super chat donation. Matt said he enjoyed the programme with Mark Boyerski on Monday evening. Thanks, Matt. So did I. The sincerity shines through Mark Boyerski. He's a terrific bloke, and I like having him on the programme. So thanks so much for that. Do chat away there on chat, and I will read some comments out here and there as I go along. I am, as I said, going to put a bit of software together which will allow me to see comments here directly on screen, almost like auto cue, almost like. And I will be able to read them out then easier than it is now. So there you are. Yeah. Started off nice here this morning. Started off nice and cold but dry, but it's begun to rain again. A lot of talk on television news this morning about rain and flooding, of course, in Yorkshire and other parts of the country. And climate change is a term being dropped in fairly regularly to talk about these floods and this rain. Everything that happens weather-wise will, from here on in, of course, be attributed to climate change. We know that, don't we? Alrighty. Let's go straight to the front pages of the UK newspapers. Then this morning, I think, in sequence this morning, the sequence is random, but it's The Guardian up first. The Guardian newspaper. Like I say to you, like I've said to you every morning this week, and I'll keep saying it, it's going to be very election-centric from now on in. Of course, we have a general election here on December 12th, which is about 5 weeks away or thereabouts. Labour vows to outspend Tories with £26 billion rescue plan for NHS. Now, I interviewed a lady last night on the radio show called Finola Moss. I do recommend you check out her website, finolamoss.wordpress.com. She's a solicitor and a campaigner, and she has blown the whistle, I believe. She has blown wide open the notion that the NHS is underfunded. It isn't and hasn't ever been underfunded. And this won't be something that Labour Party supporters will like hearing. And I imagine in this kind of this culture we live in now, when people hear things and see things that they don't want to see or hear, they generally tend to switch off. So Labour Party supporters who might be switching off now, good boy. She has proven that the NHS has not suffered in any way from a lack of capital in recent generations. But what has happened is that increasingly the NHS, NHS England, and then NHS England using commissioning groups has filtered that money to private corporations to run vast swathes of the health service, unknown or unbeknown to the vast majority of people living in this country. And her interest in it, as she described to me last night, is in the horrifying reality that people with learning disabilities and autism are being warehoused in institutions, in units in this country run by private corporations, some of them American. Those corporations earning £9,000 to £12,000 a week to keep people locked up forever. And with their family knowing very little about what is happening to them in that situation. So she talked about it from that specific point last night. There is no lack of money, or there has been no lack of money, for the UK's NHS, National Health Service. It is what has happened to that money. That's the scandal. And whatever about this being the Brexit election, which of course it is, really, you will read a lot of NHS-themed stories in the coming days and weeks. But again, the vast majority of people really don't understand, you know, what's happening to the NHS, because it isn't ever discussed on UK media. It isn't. Give you an example of it. What Finola and myself were speaking about last night, it's being covered on Sky, again on Sky News website today. hundreds of people with autism wrongly being detained in mental health units because of legislation like the Mental Health Act. Okay? Sky goes on to tell a horror story. And on the face of it, it's good reporting, right? Because these things are happening. This is happening. But, there's no digging down into who is running these units where these people are being kept. How has it come to pass that people can be left languishing in these units, thousands of people, treated as cash cows by these corporations? Nothing from Sky on this, just the basic horrifying story, as bad as it is, that people are in these units in the first place. But that's where Sky leaves it. And that's why people are in the dark. They don't understand. So that's the Guardian newspaper today. The Mirror. Labour's 10... And by the way, it is... The blame can be laid squarely at the feet of the Tony Blair, Gordon Brown governments. New Labour. And then laterally, the Conservative Party, Liberal Democrat Coalition, 2010. It's those governments that allowed this to happen. Okay? Labour's 10-point plan to save the NHS. More nurses, GPs, new hospitals, extra scanners, reduced waiting times. This is a nonsense. This is a nonsense. The £26 billion rescue bid, even if Labour was planning to spend £26 billion on the NHS, would not result in more nurses, more GPs, more time spent with your GP, reduced waiting lists, more beds, less people waiting in corridors. No, because the money is squandered. It's not squandered. It is deliberately, this money, I would say, laundered for massive private healthcare corporations. And the public hasn't a clue. And the public will never have a clue, because the vast majority of the public gets its news from the BBC and Sky News. There you are. Right? The Eye paper. Battle for the NHS. Spending arms race begins. Blah, 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 blah. The Express. Thanks, Nigel. Tories surge to 14-point lead. Some opinion polls this morning showing that the Conservatives extended their lead. These are opinion polls. And in recent years, opinion polls have proven to be less than reliable. Think back to the Scottish in-out referendum. Think back to the European Union in-out referendum. And think back to the last general election in 2017. You can take these opinion polls with a pinch of salt. Thanks, Nigel. Tories surge to 14-point lead. I think these opinion polls are designed for one reason and one reason only: to discourage people from getting off their arses, maybe. Now, look, I don't believe voting makes a difference anyway, so it doesn't matter to me. But it matters to these people who do believe that voting matters. So they skew these polls in a hope that people will say, ah, well, Party A has got it sewn up. There's no need for me to go out and vote. Here's the Times. Tories lead by 14 points after Farage climbed down. Future flood victims could get up to £10,000 for home defences, is another story in the Times today. A lot of people whose homes have been devastated by these floods around the country, of course, have got titanic battles to come now with their insurance companies. Many insurance companies refusing to pay out. That's what insurance companies do. Here's the Daily Mail. The hero who died without justice. This is about Lord Bramall. He was accused, was Lord Bramall, by Carl Beach. And I looked very closely at this guy when he was alive, this Lord Bramall. And I believe, it's just my opinion, that he was one of those, I would say, more than likely innocent of the charges made against him, but used as a kind of a pawn in this whole game of, well, if we do make very serious allegations about innocent people, and then we demonstrate that those people were innocent, we can taint the entire inquiry. We can taint the entire investigation into VIP paedophile rings in the UK. And I think that's what they've used Carl Beach and others. Carl Beach, of course, the man who's in prison now, who made allegations about a number of people. But I believe some of what Carl Beach said can be proven to be true, particularly around Edward Heath. But I think the establishment is not stupid. And I think innocent people were accused because it muddies the water. And it then becomes easier to tell the public, well, look, this is just lunatics. This is just fantasy stuff, this. So that's in the Daily Express today. Excuse me, it's in the Daily Mail, as you can see clearly on the screen there. That's the Mail. The Telegraph. Brexit will start green revolution, pledges Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister. Will it really now? That's inside the Telegraph newspaper today. We'll leave that for the moment. The Sun. Harry's no ho ho to Queen. Apparently the ginger prince and his Hollywood wife won't be attending Christmas at Sandringham. Isn't that interesting now? What's that? You couldn't give a rat's arse? I hear you loud and clear. The Financial Times top six auditors tested on resilience as ministers eye industry breakup, and Europe must wrest control of data from Silicon Valley, warns Angela Merkel. Those are the big stories on the front page of the Financial Times. The Metro then goes with the incest murders. Couple were sentenced to 35 years in jail yesterday. Turned out the couple were sister and brother. Horrible fucking story, really. I don't think there's any need to get into that, really. The Star. What's The Star got? Dreaming of a woke Christmas. Killjoy star Emma says, ban festive gifts. I don't know what that's about. And I don't care. Quite a few stories in the newspapers this morning about woke stuff. About woke things. We might come to some of them in a moment. Before we do that, though, let me very quickly have a read through one or two comments on the live chat. And by the way, thanks for joining in and chatting on the live chat. Number of you have been telling me that you don't get notifications anymore for YouTube. A number of you have been telling me that you put comments on the YouTube videos and they never show up. Now, I know this is true because even though the real viewing figures for my YouTube videos are skewed. In other words, they are so if you look at a YouTube video now on the Richie Allen YouTube channel, they average about 4,000. That's a nonsense. They get far more than 4,000 views. So they skew the numbers. They reduce the numbers. This is a fact. How do you know this? Well, I used to have 100,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel before it was deleted. Then I put another YouTube channel together and that got 25,000 subscribers in about 3 weeks. That was 18 months ago. And then it stopped. It stopped. It hasn't grown in that time. So I know this. They underreport the viewing numbers. I know this. But even if we take at face value that my YouTube videos get an average of 4,000 to 5,000 views. If we take that at face value, so let's pretend that's true. Well, we have to be a little bit suspicious that there are 30 comments or 35 comments under those videos that have had 5,000 views. Doesn't compute, does it? No, they are withholding the comments. We're not doing it. I'm not doing it. Roger is not doing it. Why would I do it? I said this yesterday. I don't care what you think of me. I don't know you. I don't know what you look like. I don't know what you sound like. I couldn't give a fuck what you think of me. Honest to God. This is me reverting to type. I told you before, I'm not a nice guy. I'm a very private guy. There's me. There's a very few small friends in my family. What anybody else thinks of me outside of that, I don't care. So I am not deleting you anywhere. Google is doing it. Of course it is. Google tells me now there is 280 people watching this. There's probably, I would say there's probably 10 times more than that. I would say there's probably 1,500 to 2,000 people watching this now. But the algorithmic processes, work to demonstrate that, well, the channel, not just my channel, but other channels, well, they're not really that important. They're not really that popular. You know, you can't argue with the numbers. The numbers they can't argue with, or the numbers they can't skew, are the live streaming numbers. 80,000 people a day watch or listen to the Richie Allen radio show. That's during the 2-hour live period. That's not counting when it's playing on a loop around the clock. The programme has been downloaded nearly 2 million times this year from Podomatic alone. That's not including iTunes, Spotify, or other places it can be accessed. It's huge. So don't believe them when they tell you, oh, you've only got 280 people watching, or you've only got 4,000 views. This is what it does. This is why I go to bed at night and pray that they'll delete this YouTube channel. I mean that, because when they do delete this channel, thank fuck, because it's 2 hours out of my day every day to upload to YouTube after the radio show, and I don't want to do it. I do it out of habit. So there you are. So don't be giving me shit about deleting people or banning comments. I don't care what you say about me. Everything that could be said about me has been said by Zionist groups in this country and by the country's national media. Why do you think I care about what you say about me? Christ almighty, people, get over yourselves. Good morning to Jean Ann, who's following Hillary Clinton's European tour closely, as well she should be. Hillary Clinton and her daughter, presently on RTE with Ryan Tuberty, want to throw the transistor radio, old-fashioned gal is Jean Ann, through the window as she rattles on about inspirational women. Thanks for that, Jean Ann. Yeah. Yeah. Mike Rocock says, any news on the new email address for the radio show? Yes, there is. You can email the Richie Allen Show at gmail.com. I know. I fucking know. Don't say anything. It's a handy one to remember. I don't like Gmail or Google either. You can send me emails through the website, but I don't get them when I'm doing the radio show. I get them later on. The Richie Allen Show at gmail.com. The Richie Allen Show at gmail.com. To send me an email. Don't kick off when you don't get a response. I've got enough to be doing, to be honest. Told you before, I'm not important. I'm not any more important than you. I'm a big, ignorant, baldy, gammon bollocks living in Salford. But my day is filled to the fucking brim with the show. It's consumed by it. So I don't have any time to reply to your lovely emails. I'd love to, but I don't have any time. Graham Booz, how you, Graham? Triggerwarning.tv, check him out. More mismanagement and abuse, and yet people still cling to the fantasy of the NHS. Get the government completely out of health care. But every citizen of the country, Graham, should be entitled to a roof over their heads, water, electricity, food, and health care when they need it. That's what I say. Now, I know you're not disagreeing with that fundamentally. But that's what we should have. Every person on planet Earth should have that. Who should it be provided by? By all of us. By the people. It's incumbent on every one of us to look after the least of us. I know you agree with that, by the way, Graham. To look after the least of us. We do it all the time anyway. Don't we? We do it all the time. I'm living in a neighbourhood now where people do look after one another. There's a senior citizen across the road, God love her. She's got a little bit of... She's getting old, right? Getting a bit forgetful, living on her own. People look after her. People around here do things for her, take out her bins. They check in on her. We do that. We do that, all of us. Everybody, every citizen of the planet should be entitled to that. To light, heat, to shelter, to food. And I'm not going to say and a job. And healthcare. That's the essence. That's the basics of socialism. And it's what I believe. And I'll believe till my dying day. Yeah. Wayne Davies said, or Davies says, if any public or private body business makes profits from the demise of a citizen, they should immediately be brought to justice and the government dissolved. Yeah. Everything that Fionnuala Moss said to me on the show last night is true. Yeah. It is, as I said yesterday, a Hammer House of Horror production. That's the sort of thing you would expect to see in a horror film. Evil companies, corporations are psychotic anyway, by their, through their existence. Not necessarily the people working inside them, but the corporation as a whole has been evaluated, has been psychoanalyzed. Watch The Corporation, the documentary. Read the book, Joel Bakan. It is psychotic to its bone marrow. Yeah, yeah. Lobbying governments to introduce legislation that people can be taken against their will and put into institutions because they have a learning disability or autism. And then, having lobbied those governments, you then do deals with those governments that enable you to provide those fucking units. And then you say to the governments, give me £12,000 a week per person, please. Kerching! Yeah. I mentioned him on the show last night, John Lonergan, the former governor of Mountjoy. One of the most brilliant men I've ever had the pleasure of meeting in my life. Used to run Mountjoy Prison. A man of love and compassion and dignity. What does he say? How could you privatise the care of people, Richie? Even in prisons, how could you do that? Because the commercial entity exists to do one thing and one thing only. To make fucking money. And to externalise its operational costs on you and fucking me. That's what it does. Makes money and then forces the costs of its operations on the general fucking public. And while it's doing that, it's polluting fucking rivers. It's polluting the ground, polluting the fucking air. Right? Psychotic. You can stick your fucking anarcho-capitalism up your fucking arse. Stick your fucking compassionate conservatism and compassionate capitalism up your fucking arse. It destroys the planet. It destroys fucking lives. It's filthy, every aspect of it. There is no fucking socialism anywhere standing up to it. There's only multi-millionaire fucking champagne socialists like Jeremy Corbyn, who knows that this is going on, but won't look people in the eye and tell them about it. Because there are fucking filing cabinets full of stuff about Jeremy Corbyn at GCHQ. That's why. That's how it works. Going to tell people about the creation of money, Jeremy? Jeremy? Let's have a look at your file, shall we? That's what corporations do. Imagine giving corporations the care of vulnerable people. Huh? Excuse me. Fucking capitalism. Free market capitalism. Let the market sort it out. Yeah, that's working out very well. As if it has been constrained in the last 50 fucking years. I hear people that I really like Jeff Berwick. Really like him. Really like Jeff. I've had these arguments with him for fucking years. Oh, if they just take the shackles off the free market. Are you shitting me? When has it ever been constrained? And look at what it's left us with. Children with autism locked in fucking units where they're throwing their food across the floor at them on trays. Corporations. Jesus Christ Almighty. On a lighter note, but not too light. Our fats are getting pet. Our pets are getting fat, according to the Times. Too many treats swell the ranks of porky pooches and fat cats. I thought this was interesting because you get a lot of stories about obese people and about how obese people are a big strain on the NHS and a strain on the economy. I don't know what the fuck this story is about because vets don't come on the NHS. Vets are extremely expensive, as I know only too well. And I don't know why they're running this story. As if it matters. Right, it matters to the pets, of course. Can't be nice to be extremely overweight if you're a pet. But there's no cost to society here. I don't know what the fuck this is about. Andrew Elson writing in the Times. Porky pooches. Jazz is 11 years of age and she looks like she's 5. Because she spends a lot of time outdoors with me. Speaking of Jeremy Corbyn, both the Times and the Telegraph are running stories today alleging that Jeremy Corbyn is a threat to national security. Now, no independent media content creator has been more critical of Jeremy Corbyn than me. I detest him. Not as much as I detest his Tory counterpart, but for different reasons. But they're alleging here that Corby, what am I doing? is a threat to national security, Comrade Corbyn. And these are interesting stories. The Times goes with the fact that Jeremy Corbyn was slow to blame Moscow for Salisbury. That's one of the big giveaways for the Times. You know, that's a big red flag that Corby must be a threat to national security because he didn't jump to attention and blame Moscow for the Skripal poisoning, which is one of the greatest fantasy stories ever foisted on the British public. One of the most hilariously ridiculous, patently, obviously untrue stories ever given to me and you. And Corbyn didn't jump right into it and blame Russia, so he's a threat to national security. His support for Hezbollah, Hamas and the IRA. He never supported Hezbollah, Hamas and the IRA. This is untrue and I don't like Corbyn. Never. He was all in favour of speaking to them. Bringing them to table. Getting them round table. Let's get them around the table and have a chat with them and see can we find some common ground. See can we, you know, get a ceasefire going which will prevent people from being blown up in cars and shot in front of their fucking children, maybe. See, in that, Corbyn was very good. But he wasn't aligning himself with these people. He was saying, let's get him around the table. Telegraph has gone the same way today. They've put a nice, very old picture of a younger Jeremy Corbyn and Gerry Adams, the former president of Sinn Féin, saying he's a threat to national security. Of course, what the military industrial complex, or the military security complex, as Paul Craig Roberts calls them, what they're genuinely concerned about, even though I don't think they have to be concerned at all, really, is that if Labour gets in, their march around the world, their arming of countries like Saudi Arabia, their proxy wars might come to a temporary halt. Bullshit. Jeremy Corbyn is Prime Minister. If he forms the next government, you just want a couple of massive false flag attacks. That's all you want. And Corbyn will be pressured to be Jesus by his backbench MPs, and he would fold like a cheap suit. Yeah. But anyway, that's what they're saying. Be very afraid, be afraid, be very afraid, be afraid if Jeremy becomes Prime Minister because he likes to consort with the UK's enemies. It isn't true. Let's hammer Corbyn for the things that are true about him. But let's not tell lies about him. He's not in bed with Britain's enemies at all. He's been a lifelong advocate for the ending of wars, the ending of the sale of armaments to despotic places and despotic regimes like Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and other places. How could you fault him for that? We'll stay with the Times for a minute before we look at the Daily Mail. We've become so fucking narcissistic. And again, this is a programme, very successful programme that's been underway for many years. It's an agenda. I had one of those nights last night. It's an agenda that has been around for a long time to turn people into vacuous, selfish, self-obsessed narcissists. And it's succeeding. It's really succeeding. And you see examples of this everywhere. You see it everywhere. I told you I was at a concert at the arena last year with the future Mrs. Allen. It was the Elvis Philharmonic Orchestra concert with Priscilla Presley in attendance with some of Elvis's Memphis Mafia guys there telling stories. We're in the lower half of the arena, not in the upper half, but you come to get to your seat and you've got a big steep row of steps all the way down. Future Mrs. Allen and me, we come back from the concession stand, the kiosk. We've got a couple of glasses and we've got a bottle of wine. We're going to sit down, have a little bit of orchestral Elvis for a couple of hours. Can't wait. Lovely, lovely. The steps are narrow and they're like that. They're very steep. And right in front of us is a lovely old lady and a lovely old man and a steward that's helping them navigate these very steep steps because there's no lift, bizarrely, even though the arena is not that old. My mate John Parsons worked on the arena. As we're standing there, this fucking arsehole comes behind me, pushes aggressively past me, and goes to get past the old people. And I said to the guy, I said, mate, do you want to hang on a second there, hold your horses, hold your gallop, and wait your turn. The guy turned around to me and started giving it all of this. Oh, there's always one, isn't there, he said to me. There's always one arsehole. Started giving me all of this. Guy was about 5'2". I looked at him. I said, keep it up, pal. Keep it up. We'll see how fast we get you down those fucking steps. You're surrounded by that sort of mentality. Look at this story. They're covering this morning in the news. Woman is eating an egg on a train. You don't like the smell of the boiled egg? Tough fucking shit, Paddy. Get over it. All right? We're being driven to this, human beings. We're being driven to it. We're being driven to this lunatic existence. This insane fucking existence. Where we don't have time to have a breakfast in the morning. Because it takes an hour and a half to commute to our job. Particularly if you're in London. Caroline used to do it. It's a nightmare. It's fucking hellish. God love you. So you're sitting there. You're fucking freezing. And you're trying to get something into you before you get to your desk and you start doing your job. The job that you hate. So this girl is trying to eat a bit of a boiled egg. This other woman goes absolutely off the fucking deep end. Because her existence is disturbed by the fact that she can smell the boiled egg. I know you might think it's a nothing story. It isn't. You see it all the time. This is what's happening to people. No empathy. Right? No understanding. Just me, 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 me. I should get to go through this life on the terms that I fucking set. And woe and be tied to anybody who gets in my way. Crazy times we live in. Nobody with any time for anybody. Only themselves. Helen Fielding wrote Bridget Jones. She's in the mail today. Saying that 40 years ago, when she was working on the show, I didn't know this, she worked on the Jim'll Fix It show, which was a television show run by the BBC. It was a hugely popular show. Children wrote letters to Jimmy Savile, asking him to help them achieve an ambition. You know, maybe they wanted to go to the Eiffel Tower, maybe they wanted to play football with a football star, maybe they wanted to do whatever. And they wrote letters to Jimmy Savile, and some of them were lucky enough, maybe not, to have their dreams fulfilled. And in return for that, they got a Jim'll Fix It badge. Fielding worked on the programme and said that basically producers must have known about his behaviour because she was told, when she worked on the programme, try not to leave Jimmy alone with the children. You see, we haven't been told the half of it when it comes to Jimmy Savile. We haven't been told the fucking half of it when it comes to Jimmy Savile. In terms of who knew what and who turned a blind eye to it. Making them as bad, if not worse, than Savile himself. Savile was a disgusting, putrid, filthy, slimy pederast. That's what he was. But if you knew that he was a filthy, disgusting, dirty, rotten pederast, and you knew he was maiming for life children, he was injuring children and destroying them, and you turned a blind eye to it, and you would say things to Helen Fielding like, don't leave him alone with the kiddies, you're just as bad or worse than him. Fielding should be interviewed under caution now, of course, shouldn't she? Eh? Eh? Helen, this is the Met Police. We need to have a word, love. Who, Helen? Who told you not to leave him alone with the children? But don't hold your breath waiting for that to happen. Look at the state of Savile. Look. Fucking disgusting. I thought him disgusting when I saw him doing that documentary with Louis Theroux, and I knew nothing about the things he was alleged to have done. The things he did do. And I thought him a disgusting, awful person. You can tell. And it's not me, you know, declaring him. It's not a case of me saying, oh, he's ugly. Fuck off, I'm no oil painting. It's not that. It's not that. Some people, you look at them and they're fucking sick. And I remember watching that Louis Theroux thing going, that guy is fucking awful. Look at him. Not because he's ugly or because I deem him to be ugly. But look at the fucking state of him. Look. It's all in the eyes, isn't it? We don't know the half of it. It's been covered up. Of course we know it's been covered up. Ask Charlie Boy, his best friend there. Windsor Castle. Wherever he lives. What are we? 10:05. What else can we do? The Guardian. Massive story. Damien Carrington. Insect apocalypse poses risk to all life on Earth. Conservationists warn. This is not news. It's a follow-up story. We've heard this now for a number of years. That collapse. Invertebrate. Insect collapse. Bee colony collapse. All over the world. And the implications for life on Earth, well, are drastic. Terrifying. Extinction. They're blaming pesticides. No doubt that pesticides are playing their part, no doubt. They're blaming climate change. Climate change, man-made climate change, is not having a drastic effect. Man's pollution of the environment, deforestation and the destruction of habitats. Yes. Yes, that is a problem. Of course it is. Massive problem. We see it in the oceans, let alone talking about insects. But man-made CO2 is not changing the climate per se. But what they don't want to talk is aluminium poisoning. No mention in today's article. No mention. No mention at all about aluminium poisoning. That's the big elephant in the room. Dementia in bees and in other pollinators. Where are they getting the aluminium from? The Guardian have been covering this story for 2 years. This is Damien Carrington again back in 2017. And here he is talking about Germany, nature reserves across Germany, where three quarters, back in 2017, three quarters of insects have disappeared from German nature reserves in the last quarter of a century. That was in 2017, that article. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. There is nothing to see here. Please disperse. Blame it on pesticides, blame it on climate change. But the truth, of course, is there are many reasons why it's happening. Students are fighting back on campuses. Oxford students have taken offence to something that's worth taking offence to for a change. The head of the college, well, the head of one college, Worcester College, wanted to abolish the grace before meals and do a different type of more woke grace before meals, including various cultures and all of that fucking bollocks. Kate Tunstall. There she is. One Oxford campus, the shoe was on the other foot. Worcester College's provost is now facing a furious backlash after trying to abolish the centuries-old custom of standing for dons and saying grace before meals. They wanted to replace the grace, which is read in Latin, with a range of set texts of thanksgiving from any world culture, religious or not. The students have said, no, this is a tradition we want to preserve. Fuck off. I like that. I'm not religious in any way, shape or form. I like a bit of tradition though. I like tradition. I don't know, there's something nice. There's something warming. There's something comforting about tradition, isn't there? There's something nice about knowing that many, many thousands of people came to this place for hundreds of years before I was here. And they had a tradition where they said thanks before their dinner. And even if I don't believe in God, fair enough. Good. Good. What else do we have? It's in the Daily Mail too. Secret plot to kill off your bank paper statements. The Mail exposes the backlash after NatWest tells loyal customers it won't print transactions. All of us who have a bank account, and most of us do, well, we're getting this. I bank with the Halifax. It's no big secret. If you go to the Richie Allen website, you'll see there's a bank account number there for donations. I bank with Halifax. I'm not endorsing the Halifax. They're a share of bastards, just like every other bank. But that's who I bank with. And they've been telling me for a long time now, you can't get paperless, excuse me, you can't get a posted bank statement anymore. The generation that came before me, they like their bank statements in paper for good reasons. They like to keep books. They like to keep records for themselves, hard copies of their bank account movements, their statements. The Daily Mail quite rightly saying today, this is going to have a big, big impact on elderly customers as well as vulnerable customers. Of course it is. Do you think that's an accident? Right? No longer give you paper statements in the post from January. Online banking. Banking using your phone. Easier to cut you off, to shut you down. Easier to take money from your bank account without even telling you. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They're going to do that in the future. They'll start taking money without telling you. Or they'll make it easier for a third party to debit your bank account without telling you. Honestly. They go on and on about security and how security has never been more robust. Bullshit. Bullshit. In the near future, they'll make it more easier for third parties to take money out of your bank account. They'll make it more easier for governments and local authorities to do it. To take money out of your bank accounts. Shocking, really. Yeah. And that's more or less it for me for this morning, by the way. Thank you for your comments on the live chat. Apologies for my mini rant earlier on about socialism. But I do get tired of people talking to me about the free market. Unshackle the free market and the free market will sort everything out. Yeah, the free market has been unshackled forever. Yeah. So, thanks for your comments. I've got Eric Karlstrom coming on the radio show later on. He's one of the guests. He'll be live from New Mexico. Yeah, it will be New Mexico. That's where he's based at the moment. Jean-Anne Crowley, who's worked at the BBC. Jean-Anne's a remarkable woman. She's had an amazing career. Which isn't over yet, by the way. And done amazing things on television, on stage. And she's written for the national papers. Jean-Anne has said on the chat there, they knew, she says, I know they did. They did, Jean-Anne, of course they knew. When they're telling young interns like Helen Fielding, keep Jimmy away from the fucking children. I mean, that's a red flag right there. And Helen, who hasn't done anything wrong, needs to be asked under, not under caution, maybe that was a bit unfair, maybe. Maybe that was a bit provocative. She needs to be spoken to by forensic investigators. To say, Helen, listen, thanks for saying that in the Daily Mail. Who was telling you not? Can we need to know this? We need to retrospectively investigate this thing. We really do. Because those people were complicit. I'm very forthcoming about my flaws as a human being. I really am. And I have legion. My flaws are legion. I tell you what, though. There's no fucking way that I could stand by knowing that somebody in the room across the hall was abusing children. And I know you couldn't do it either. Whatever your shortcomings are, how could you do that? Whatever the cost to your own career, Jesus Christ, right? These people need to be brought to justice if they're still alive. It's like Tim Fortescue, Edward Heath's former chief whip. Anyone who was anybody knew that if you were in any trouble, you'd come to the whips. And the whips would get you out of trouble. It might be financial trouble. It might be scandal involving small boys. Really, Tim? So people were abusing small boys and you helped cover it up so that you could blackmail that MP in the future? You're a bit of a bastard, Tim. Listen, off to jail with you, pal. Don't pass go. No probation. Into the clink. 5 years, Tim. 5 years, pal. Why is that? Because you're worse than the fucking paedophile, pal. You're worse. So yeah, I'd like to know who those people were who were telling people to keep kids away from Jimmy. I'd really love to know who they are. Yeah. Actually, we know it went on. We know. We know Margaret Hodge. We know all about Margaret Hodge in Islington, knowing the children were abused in fucking care homes and doing nothing about it, you know. Margaret Hodge, the Witchfinder General for anti-Semitism. I'd rather be an anti-Semite than a pedo. Oh, I'd rather be an anti-Semite than a pedo. And I'm not an anti-Semite, by the way. I've never had anything against Jewish people. Or anybody else, for that matter. There used to be an old racist chant sung by Manchester United fans. They used to sing that they'd rather be a Paki than a Scouse. Rather childish, really. Childish song. But they used to sing it. And they would laugh. Asian kids watching Man United used to sing it as well. Could never figure that one out. But they used to sing it, I'd rather be a Paki than a Scouse. Again, childish. That's where I got the, I'd rather be an anti-Semite than a pedo. Margaret Hodge, yeah. Islington. Islington. Interesting place, Islington. So that's all I have for you this morning. Got a bit of research to do for the radio show at 5 o'clock. I want to say something now, and please hear this, and please do share it. To anybody who's ever donated to this radio show, the radio show, thanks very much. The emails I'm sending to people to thank them, and it is the most important thing to me that I send an email to people. If you send me a pound, the fact that you've done that means more to me than I can find the words to express. So I always send an email, but it is becoming increasingly fucking apparent to me that not everybody is getting the emails. Search your spam, search your junk mail. And if it's not in there, there's something going on with PayPal. Christ, of course I'm sending emails out when you send me some money for the radio show. Christ, why wouldn't I? You know, even if I was a bastard, I would send the email because I'd like you to do it again in the future. And I know that if I don't thank you, right, I'm a pragmatist, me. First of all, I really do want to thank you because it means the world to me. But even if it didn't, I would send the email. Because I know that if I don't thank you, you might say, what a bastard. I sent him £20 or £50. Somebody sent me £100 last week for the radio show. Amazing. Wonderful. As if I'm not going to thank you. But you're not getting the emails, some of you. I don't know why. So check your spam. Check your... Don't just sit there stewing and go, what a bastard. I am a bastard, but not in that way. Of course it means a lot to me. I don't take you for granted. Christ, I don't take you for granted. And I never will. As long as I'm doing the radio show, I will never take you for granted. Okay? Whether you donate to the program or whether you don't. But check your bloody spam and ask PayPal. Are they sending you the emails, the thank you emails? Because there's an automatic one that sends. And then there's a personal one that comes from me. Ah! I know. Fuck off, Richie. I know. I'm going. I've got to feed Jazz. And prepare for the radio show. Do check out my pals, Graham Booth and Hayden Hewitt on triggerwarning.tv. I know they're not... When I say they're my cup of tea, I enjoy what they do. For some of you who've got very strong opinions about things, I know they're not your cup of tea because they will say things that trigger you, hence trigger warning. But watch them anyway. It's very healthy to hear a narrative that's, you know, that contravenes, that contradicts that which you think is correct or that you think is right. Do that. Do that much. There's no harm in it, right? Okay. Tomorrow Thursday, phone in show again. Tomorrow Thursday. So keep that in mind. As usual, I will be giving priority to people who've never been on before. But I will, of course, take on people who maybe were not on the previous show, but were on the previous show before that, if you get my meaning. But we always get brand new callers anyway from all around the country and from various parts of the world. Have a good Wednesday, and we'll catch up, you and me, on the radio show at 5. Look at this. Look at how crap this is. Look, speaking of the BBC. Speak to you later on.